Welcome to the final Nerdspace wrap-up for the year of 2016. Indeed, the final Nerdspace wrap-up ever, so I'm going to call it the Nerdspace wrap-up. As always, I'm Brian. Joining me is Deej and Chidji. Deej, someone broke everything. Tell me what happened.
Well, dear listeners, as you might know, Brian went away for a couple of weeks, and during that time, Nerdspace closed, so you can have Brian to thank. But seriously, as part of the team, we need to have five people on team to keep being an incorporated association. And we have five people on team at the moment, and we were discussing our future for next year. And it turns out that about three of us are not going to be able to continue next year just because of changing life circumstances. People moving away, people getting married, blah, blah, blah. So we had a discussion, can we keep on going? And we thought, with so many people not being able to keep on going with it, we'll close the doors.
We had a subscriber drive, didn't we? If we got to 20 subscribers on the podcast channel, it would survive, and people didn't answer the call. So basically, it's on you if you're listening now.
That's exactly right. Not good enough.
Yeah, that's a joke, in case anyone is a bit too literal. But yeah, so the concept will still survive, is what we're hoping here. So the Nerdspace started out in a garage, and it will probably continue in a garage. I mean, we know the vast majority of people that turn up regularly know each other close enough anyway, that we're already playing Magic outside of the event anyway. So I think what we're just saying is keep your eye out on... The Nerdspace page will continue to exist.
So the Facebook official Nerdspace page will probably come down, but the two groups, Nerdspace D&D and Board Gaming and Nerdspace MTG, should remain active for people to communicate and talk through that, so they should be still up there.
I think we've already got at least a couple of people planning events in the next couple of months at their houses or whatever. So there will be roughly... Actually, there'll be more events than there would have been if Nerdspace ran, ironically, in January. So, Mummy and Daddy love you all very much, but we have to go our separate ways.
We also do have a couple of official Nerdspace things still coming up. So we've got a Nerdspace Christmas on Saturday the 18th, I believe. And we also have our AGM, which will be the last official thing that we'll do, because at the AGM we will actually close Nerdspace. So you're welcome to come along for that. It'll be on January the 28th, I believe. So keep your eyes out for that.
And what is Nerdspace Christmas? Because I've seen that title thrown around a lot. Yeah. But let's get an explanation of that for people.
So it's just going to be, there's like a Christmas carol sing being held, and we managed to secure a tent there. So we'll be playing Magic while people are singing carols. It really is as simple as that.
Not weird at all.
No, it'll just, be awesome.
It's just a better Christmas when you get to play Magic with people, let's be honest. So yeah, this is going to be our final podcast, but we'll go through the full format anyway. Obviously, we can wrap up the last event of Nerdspace, because there's been a few events where we haven't actually had a podcast. Cough, not my fault, cough. The final event, how did D&D go down?
Chidji, do you want to take this one?
Well, D&D went down fantastically. So, as most of our listeners would know, we were going to hell. And me and Deej organised a little bit of shenanigans. So, my general character did not arrive with everyone else, which had everyone else a bit got confused, and as they arrived in hell, they saw a demonic-looking entity in front of them, which was me. So I had an old character who did die, and he was a pretty horrible person. Liked to mutilate all sorts of humanoids that he's defeated and take trophies, and it was pretty horrible. So he was found in hell. Pretty good destination for him. And we proceeded to, kind of my fault, ruin a plan to trap the god. And I kind of alerted all the demon lords to our presence. So we had like a three-way fight going on. But we did manage to defeat Sheogorath, the god of madness, thanks to my amazing overpowered fireballs. And unfortunately, one demon lord did get away. Otherwise, I would have taken over hell. So yeah, it was a fantastic, good day. Everyone had a lot of fun.
So that is just words to me. Is that what was meant to happen?
All you need to know is that I almost took over hell.
That doesn't surprise me, really, at this point. wrapping up that event as well, how did everything else go, Magic and board games and so on?
Seems like everyone had a good time. We had a couple of new board games coming along. We played Suro, which is a fantastic game, all about playing little tile pieces on the board, and your character follows the path along, and if you crash into somebody or fall off the edge of the board, you lose the game. So it was very beautiful, but also very chaotic, and people got angry, which always should happen in a good board game.
All right, excellent. And then, of course, we had the Nerdspace dinner as well. Did that have an official name or just Nerdspace dinner?
It's just the every year we have a end of the year Nerdspace dinner, so it's just the Nerdspace dinner.
Right. So that, and that all went well. This isn't for the podcast anymore. I've just been out.
No, that went pretty well. So we went down to the Manhattan where you've got the all-you-can-eat feast. So we all ate a lot. Some of us more than others, even though we're running a bit late. lots of people had a good laugh at how much I eat. So, but yeah, that was pretty good. Apart from the small speech by John, which was quite good, though depressing with him telling us about how Nerdspace is going to end. It was a good night for everyone, I think.
And to that effect, you might maybe be listening to this on our website, and if you are, that website will continue to exist. Yes. Mostly because WordPress sites are free. but that will continue to exist, so you can listen to all our previous content, although you would have already listened to it, obviously, because you're a loyal listener. But if not, you can go back and listen to all the things we put out. Have we got any other episodes intending to release? I know I finished my unfinished series of podcasts. Are we getting another Dungeon Master's Guide, or are we sort of wrapping that up as well?
Depending on how organized I can be over the Christmas period.
Yeah.
Yep, I'd like to get a few more out, maybe one or two, and finish that off. It's been fun.
So we'll see how all that goes. I personally am planning to do my own Magic podcast outside of Nerdspace. You'll recognize basically everybody on it, because I have limited options, so Gigi's coming along. And Deej will probably turn up at some point, let's be honest.
Yep.
Don't you love how he sounds depressed that I'm coming along?
Just everybody I work with, it's horrible. but so we'll be doing a show like that. It will probably, I'm thinking it's going to roughly follow a 20-minute, half-hour format. It'll be a little bit more discussion-based, but we'll bring in the same sort of segments, minus explaining to you what happened in an event that no longer exists. And so yeah, stay tuned for that. I will advertise the hell out of it on whatever source it is you're listening to this on now. And while I'm just plugging stuff, you can also listen to my other podcast that I started plugging on the end of Nerdspace podcast and no one noticed.
I noticed.
Yeah, called The Bitter Beatdown, Tom and Brian's Bitter Beatdown with Sam. That's a comedy podcast that really, really needs to meet a schedule that it doesn't currently have. But you guys liked it. You have to.
I've quite enjoyed it, so it is quite good. They have edited it quite well to make themselves seem stupider than they actually are, but it's amazing.
The first episode is legit hilarious. It actually had me laughing. Not just... You know when you're sitting at a computer and you just go... like a little breath out? No, this had me laughing. It was good.
I was exactly the same. I was laying in bed, listening to it. I was rolling around almost in tears when I first listened to it. So yeah... Definitely check it out if you've got time.
That's much better than the other quotes I had for the poster, which was, it's okay, and that's a lot coming from me. Sorry, there was, it's not terrible, and that's a lot coming from me. So yeah, we'll have all those. There'll be events coming along and so on. So we're just going to jump into a discussion topic because we can, and then we'll tell you what's not coming up at a non-existent Nerdspace event. Okay, so discussion topic time. There's a new format called Frontier that's started to emerge as an idea. I'm not aware of anyone running it outside of online, but in case you haven't heard of it, basically it's Magic 2015 forward. So this is meant to sort of fill in that gap between modern and standard as another sort of format. Have you guys heard about this? What's your kind of thoughts on this?
I haven't heard about it before. The first thought that comes to mind is it really needed? Like, I thought modern was to fill the gap between legacy and standard. Do we really need another format to then kind of split the player base even further? I don't know.
Yeah, it does actually ring bells for me, but I haven't really paid attention to the news going on, so I hadn't really heard what it was. But I think I'm in agreements with Deej here. Like, do we really need another mixing thing? And as is, I'm a casual player, so I just play everything and anything, so I'm not one of these people that's trying to segment everything.
So here's the idea. Basically, if you look at the stats that drive up the price of playing Modern, for Innistrad, for example, with Liliana the Veil, that's like a $100, $200 card. Mm-hmm. As you start to get further away from that, general card prices across a set drops just due to their age.
Right.
So the idea is this is a format that people can play that once their cards are rotated out of standard without needing to build a $500,000 deck to play Modern. Now, I disagree. Right. You need such an expensive deck to play Modern because I get by fine with $200. Also, if anyone asks, I didn't invest $200 in Magic. But the idea here is that, yeah, it creates an extra sort of stepping in point. The other issue the format has, though, is that currently it has half the fetch lands and right. the other half of the... did we agree on them being battle lands from Zendikar? Sure, they're battle lands. And then it has the enemy pain lands, which can't be fetched. So the mana bases are horrible. It also means everybody can just go back to what they were playing in Standard when Karns was around, which was four-color good stuff.
Sure, yes. Is the idea then that it will kind of be like Standard, as in it rotates?
No.
So, okay.
It's non-rotating.
So then doesn't it mean that it will just become more like Modern and the idea will become less and less useful? Like, if it's yes. the idea of a stepping point, like you've got your awesome Standard deck and you want to play it somewhere else, now you've got Frontier, but surely as time goes on and the card pool gets larger, you run into the same problem as Modern has.
You do, but this is the thing. At that point in time, Modern will be Legacy. Right, and Legacy sure. will be for those who can afford a Maserati.
Okay.
So it sounds like this is really a Band-Aid fix,
oh,
is what you'd call it.
Absolutely.
So literally just chuck a Band-Aid on it and hope it gets better by itself. It's not actually addressing the problem by the sound of it.
And that's where I wanted to go with this. People really like to debate this, and we never brought it up, so I thought I'd surprise it on you. Magic as an investment versus Magic as a game. Let's pretend, for example, you'd invested in your playset of Liliana of the Veil. Because you had like $600 burning a hole in your wallet and you thought, you know what I want? I want a very situational planeswalker. Do you think it needs to stay that way? Or do you think that Wizards' policy should shift to reprinting things on a lot higher rate in order to keep the card game low? In price, I mean.
I think it's a bit of a half-half. So, personally, I'm more of a enjoy-the-game kind of guy, but I do see it as if you bring down the price of some of these cards, you're going to break the game. Everyone's going to play with all the amazing cards because they're going to be cheap now, and it's just going to, like, all that kind of balancing that they've done is going to be gone. So, it's really hard to then change that, but personally, I think it would be nice for them to have something out there that makes the game fun for everyone, including those people who can't spend a couple of grand to build a deck.
And the other interesting argument that comes up in that scenario is if all the cards' price starts to dip, it's no longer worth it to a lot of people to sell the single cards.
Right.
So you lose your store.
Yes, okay, that's a
yes,
good point.
And that is a big thing to talk about because, like, here where we are, there's NLG Ringwood. So, Next Level Games, Ringwood, small little card store. They also sell board games and stuff. But I think the majority of their income is probably from Magic. And a lot of it would be from singles. But that is also a good community space for a lot of us people who want to go and play a game and have a good time. That's where we go. We go and they have tables, they have space. If they can't afford, if they don't have the income from those cards to keep the rent paid, to keep the lights on, that's gone. There goes that community space for everyone.
On the other hand, as somebody who, not that I'm poor, it's just that I don't really want to invest money into Magic. I do feel priced out of certain formats. I feel like I can't really afford Standard because cards rotate out. I can't really afford Modern and Legacy because cards are so expensive. And so it feels like to me that there's this barrier between me and being able to play all that Magic can offer. I would like that to be changed. However, as you said, I don't see a way to really do that. You don't want the friendly local game stores to go out of business if you decrease the price of single cards. I think there's a problem, and I don't think Frontiers is the ultimate way of solving it. I don't know how to address it.
So the other thing Wizards has introduced is an event called Standard Showdown, which runs on Saturdays, which is largely similar to FNM, but, you know, a day later. And the prize structure is slightly different in the way that they're providing a special booster pack that, I'm going to get this wrong, but I think it's one mythic or rare from the current set, one foil, and one something else.
Okay.
So it's basically all you're trying to get out prizes anyway without the common filler. Yeah. And so this is, I think, intended to boost what was already low FNM numbers. I know our local store, I noticed, has now switched FNM over to being free with a different prize structure of just promo cards as opposed to boosters, which is an interesting move.
Definitely.
And it shows, and I've been reading that apparently Standard is struggling a little bit as a format, even though it's much cheaper than it used to be, if I understand correctly. I always played Standard as, like, the cheapest deck in the room. But, it's interesting that format's struggling at the moment on the price point issue. But I've always thought, and maybe it's because I'm normally the lower price in the room, I just don't care.
Yes, right.
And the people who are saying, you know, the barrier to entry is so high because I can't afford my four baby Jaces and my set of fetches and so on. I'm like, are you trying to win the entire event every week? If so, go and grind for a GP. Like, this is a small store. I'm coming in the middle every time, and I don't care. It's fine. I got to hang out and meet some people and play some games. If you want to be playing, like, a highly competitive tune thing, go somewhere with that thing. I don't understand the, like, I have to have the best deck or I can't play in the room.
Yes, yeah.
I think that can also be to do with how much experience you've had in the format itself, because when I first started playing any sort of competitive at Friday Night Magic, I felt sort of like that. Like, you'd have to have the good cards to be able to play in it to get even to middle grounds. But then once I started playing, I saw that even with my cheap cards, I could build something that could get me a few wins and give me a bit of fun. So it is a bit, but at the same time, there is a very strong elitist feeling. Especially when you look at some of these high-end, like your GPs and stuff, the cards they're playing with give you a really big, like, you feel like you're so much less than them because you can't get these cards.
Right, and the whole game, like, the game's original idea was building around, you build this deck, it's individualized to yourself, and it's a sort of your little identity or whatever. But then people take that and they're like, oh, but my deck is so much better than yours. Like, well,
yeah,
what do
and
you
it's,
do?
It's become a very, like, in some situations, and I've had a few times where I've not wanted to play anymore because you're in a group where they're like, oh, well, your deck hasn't provided a challenge for my deck. And I'm sitting there going, well, I'm here to have fun. I'm not here to win. I'm not here to make something amazing and copy a GP deck piece for piece so I can win everything. I'm there to have fun. So you do get that level that you're a bit, you feel put down almost for not having the cards by some people.
Now, having said that, we shouldn't try and scare people away from it, because I've met amazing people at these events.
There are some amazing people, and even if you're just there to look and see what it's like when an event's going on, you can have some great fun. I mean, I went and watched Brian through an entire event because I didn't feel like playing myself, but I had fun. I was mucking around with all the guys just as Brian would, like, they were all real friendly, all great guys, and we had great conversations, even though I wasn't actually a part of the actual competition.
But I went 2-1 that night as a goddamn legend.
Do you think that there's a place then for a casual format? And from my understanding, I thought FNM was kind of going to fill that kind of casual spot. But is there a place then for people that aren't interested in, you know, getting prizes, aren't interested in GPs, aren't interested in this whole tournament kind of thing, but just want to play a bit of Magic and have it be organized in a regular sort of structure? Or do you think that it will always fall into that trap of the people who are competitive are going to go there and bring the competitive edge to anything that is run?
I'm told there are stores where they just have that culture where it's not competitive. I haven't found them in Melbourne yet.
I also didn't
go looking.
Yeah.
It does depend, and, like, Nerdspace itself was a prime example of where it was just for casual fun. Even with a couple of prizes up there, it was there for a casual fun game. It wasn't there for people to go, I'm going to win this, I'm going to build this amazing deck.
Though, to be fair, you could still see the arm race beginning, and I was very guilty of it, that you'd be like, yeah, but for like $10, I could crush half this room, which you did. But it was meaningless. It just meant that I spent an extra $10 and everybody else rocked up.
See, that's why I'm thinking that perhaps it isn't actually possible to have a casual tournament. That human nature is always going to go, I love the feeling of winning, and so I can spend this little bit extra to win, and then somebody else go, well, I can spend just a little bit extra and win instead. I have this feeling that it's in any sort of tournament format, it's always going to get this, as you said, the competitive arms race going for the people who are competitive and then drive out the non-competitive people.
I think you might be right there. And what you've actually just made me think of is microtransactions, which are a very big thing now. You pay to win, basically. You spend your $2 to get the amazing armor. You spend your $2 to get the amazing sword, and then you win. And that might be human nature, but it's not everyone's human nature. So I think it's a matter of those who want to have a casual thing gathering together in their local store and going, hey, look, we want to be able to do this. Are you willing to aid us in setting up an event where we can just have a casual, fun tournament and it's not an arms race?
But see, this is the thing, because I've had this conversation before about Magic the microtransactions, because I'm a great guy to be out with it on a Friday night. and it's actually not pay to win. By virtue that my $50 deck did once beat $1,000 Jund. I only ever did it once. Only ever once. But it can happen.
Yeah, there's still very much the element of chance and user error and the way you decide to manage your deck and the decisions you make within the game are very much still in effect. But there is still that some of those cards are so much more powerful that it really does hamper your ability if you don't have the money. It's not a complete pay to win, but it is a much bigger advantage if you can put those cards in there.
So when you guys say you'd like a casual tournament that doesn't involve the arms race, how do you set that up? Do you set a hard money limit? Do you just draft, which is the general answer?
That's what it comes down to, and I think...
Which is not cheap.
It's very, very difficult. Like, it's very hard to do it because Magic cards themselves are, as a rule, expensive. Like, boosters may only be $7 or whatever, but if you want to do a draft, you need three of them for each person. So it's very hard to do it, and I think probably draft is one of the most even levels, but even with that, if you have player knowledge of the block and how it can run together, you have an advantage walking into that draft. So it can make it very, very difficult to get a casual, not arms raced kind of event going.
But at a certain point, so you don't want player, I'm just picking on you now, you don't want player knowledge to be a benefit in this casual tournament. You basically then have to get down to, all right, my deck is 4 1-1s for ones, 4 2-2s for twos.
Well, I think what it really is a working out what level people are at, like how well they know the game, how well they might know the block without... Obviously, you got a bit of leniency. You don't want everyone to be exactly the same, but you need to kind of attempt to somewhat weed out these elite players, the players who might play every, like... They might be people who play every event that comes on every time it comes on and know everything about the game and know how all the decks can possibly run at the moment. And people like that will slaughter someone like me who will be seeing the cards for the first time going, what can I connect?
But see, is that a problem?
Now, this is a completely dumb idea in a terms of economic sense and running a business. But... And with Friday Night Magic suffering already, apparently, with player numbers. But what about two tournaments run side by side? One has prizes for the win. Mm-hmm. One doesn't have prizes for the win. So if you want to play hardcore, then you go in the one in which you get prizes and you're really aiming to get the win. If you just are there to have fun and play a bit of Magic, you go in the non-prize one, and hopefully that would then separate players of skill. Skilled players would be playing because they get the chance of getting a prize. Unskilled players generally don't have the chance to at least get the major prizes, so they'll go in the fun one just for fun.
But the prize would have to be cash money then, because if I already have my expensive deck, I don't care about boosters.
That's a good point, actually. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult because even then you might have people who have their good decks. They might not be looking to win, so they're still going to go in the casual. But then you've also got to look at what is like the entry, because a lot of events cost entry. So if you're then paying the same entry as the people who are getting prizes and you're not getting a prize, that's a bit unfair on you. You're paying for the time and, yes, for some things, the cards, but at the same time, then you're going, well, I'm getting ripped off here. So then you've got to look at adjusting prices and all that kind of thing. So I think it really is a very, very hard thing to find an answer for, and that may be why no store has an answer and why it's very much a dependent on what store you go to, what happens kind of situation.
And this is what I sort of came to the conclusion with our Nerdspace tournaments, where we did try enforce some rules that would sort of limit power levels, and that did not work.
No, not at all.
And we tried to introduce limits that would force people to build new and different decks, and that did not work. It turns out, if you say no creatures, everyone plays control. Everyone. And I'm so annoyed I didn't have a proper control deck on me that day, because that would have been hilarious to be involved in. So I think, yeah, what we learned from that is the only way, and I think the best tournament we ran, was the one where we had a no ban list other than, you know, like Unglued and Unhinged. Just a no ban list, go for it, with everybody walking in knowing what level they were at and not caring.
That's yeah, exactly. So that was, as I was saying earlier, it's a matter of having a good group that are all there to have fun. Like, even knowing that Eric would flog me, no matter what deck he played of the ones he has, I knew he'd flog me, but I didn't care. And I mean, I didn't even get matched up against him in the long run, but even knowing that, I wouldn't have minded going up against him, because he would have known he was going to win, I would have known, but we would have both played the game and had fun doing so.
And it's just an attitude thing. As you say, if you just go in there knowing that you're going to lose or you're going to win, or just not caring and just enjoying the game with the person you're playing across from you, that's all it's about, to me anyway. Like, when people say, like, why do I prefer Magic over Hearthstone? My answer is because there's another person on the other side of the table.
Exactly.
And I get
to
talk to that person. Which, out of context, sounds kind of sad, like I don't talk to other people. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I do feel the same way. Because even if you take that in comparison to Talisman, the board game. It's a board game I love. First few times I played it, I had a great time. But what I didn't realize is it wasn't the game that was giving me the great time. It was the other people around the table, because I actually obtained that on Steam, and the couple of times I've played it on Steam.
It's so boring, right?
You feel like you're sitting by yourself rolling dice, and
it's like playing the Jewels of the Planeswalkers. It's the most boring thing. I played that and then didn't play Magic for a week.
I think if I had a bunch of my mates that I know well and they had the Talisman on Steam as well, and we had like a Skype call or TeamSpeak going, it would be different. I'd probably enjoy it a lot more, but it still doesn't have that connection that you get in person. It doesn't trigger those things in your brain that give you that little enjoyment, that buzz that you get otherwise.
So I think the solution that we've come to here, from somehow starting on what do we think of the Frontier format, we've fixed Magic.
Exactly.
All you have to do is vet everyone entering your local game store to make sure they think exactly like you do.
Exactly right.
So purely for a card game, we need to bring in some sort of like class-based system.
Nice.
Where people could be rejected at the door based on some kind of, like, I guess they carry like a card listing
you're
them into
a
group.
Trench coat, get out.
And is that a fedora? No.
Hello, and then, to all our fedora wearing
and then
listeners.
Based on who you are is which store you can go into. And I'm not continuing this joke because I'm sure everybody knows the joke I'm making at this point. So with all that, I think we are done here.
I think that sounds right.
Both with the episode and the concept in general. And Nerdspace, it's all just sort of neatly packed up and done. So I don't know
if you call that neatly. It's more of a higgledy-piggledy, wibbly-wobbly ball of timey-wimey stuff.
There was just no one here to stop us.
Honestly, I think this is the best podcast we've ever made. It's like the pinnacle of our technical prowess, our professionalism.
Pinnacle of our valley.
And it could have been better because I have 4 bottles of cider in the fridge and I really want to fill the stein with them. But I wasn't confident that I'd be able to edit the podcast afterwards.
Nice.
So we're professional podcasters. I plugged everything that I do. Do you guys want to plug anything before we wrap up here?
I'll just say, if you're a fan of D&D and you've been to Nerdspace a few times, with Nerdspace now dissolved. Yep, that's a word. Okay, so with that,
he's on my new podcast.
Yeah, you're gonna love it. So with that happening, I'm going to look at getting GURPS properly off the ground. So if you're interested in GURPS, you're not sure what it is, you want to know, you like your board, like your tabletop games like D&D, hit me up. I'll get Brian to chuck something, but it's justin.chidgey, C-H-I-D-G-E-Y, as at gmail.com. So send me in and yeah, we'll... I'm looking at getting off the ground, so I'll keep in touch and help you out if you're interested.
Did you ever end up riding my Pokemon trainer for that?
I somewhat played around with it, yes.
It's going to be amazing.
And keep your eye on the social media things on Facebook. We'll definitely keep some sort of Facebook presence alive once Nerdspace has been dissolved. So we'll sort of use it as a central hub for all these different kinds of things. So please stay attached to us and come to the AGM January 28th. That'll be up on Facebook as well.
Drinks are on Deej. All that stands is to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, what if you believe in Hanukkah?
All that remains is to wish everybody a happy non-denominational yeah, period of celebration.
Community!
And a happy possible end of the calendar year, depending on which system of calendar you use, if at all, if you don't use the current Gregorian calendar. We wish you all the best with Slocks and 28.
Very politically correct. Well done.
There's got to be a real calendar system that uses Slocks and 28. They're going to be like, you just said the 14th of July was the end of your equivalent calendar year, and I think you'll find that's not how that works.
Please contact us if your calendar has Schlocksen in it.
I may as well just swear now at this point. We've broken every other rule that we were given. May as well just be like, anyway.
Oh, totally.
I've been Brian.
I'm Chidgey.
And I'm Deej.
We're sorry.
I'm not.
Alright, so that has been the wrap up of the Nerdspace wrap up. We're wrapping up the Nerdspace
wrap up. Wrapping up the Nerdspace wrap up. So we're wrapping up the Nerdspace wrap up. For good. So that's the last wrap up of the wrap up. Just remember to keep. Hey Brian, it's still recording. I just thought I'd let you know. So yeah, that's a thing.
Oh dear.